Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, man. Counting the systems down, checking another one off with the Rockies today.
Yeah. Moving on through. We're almost, like, done. We've got eight, I think, more to do, and then we kind of jump into our regular preseason stuff, which is a lot of positional previews and strategy kind of discussions and kind of looking at values and ADPs and things like that, which is always fun. But
oh yeah,
this has been fun, but it's been trying. So, you know, 60 podcasts in 30 days is a lot of podcasting to do.
A lot of editing on your part too. So
yes, it is. But that's okay. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. All right, let's just jump in. Who the Rockies got at the top of their system?
Two guys at the top. I want to group them together because they're kind of linked. And they're both overall value is pretty similar, which I think is a little bit different than some people would have thought. But Brendan Rodgers and Garrett Hampson. From what it sounds like, they're both in direct competition with people like Ryan McMahon for the second base job. In Colorado this year, I think Hampson's the favorite, as he should be, and he produced at a high level this year. They're both really, really nice fantasy assets, with Rodgers being the potential power output that he can be from the middle infield, and then with Hampson, it's the hit tool and the stolen base totals. I think from fantasy lens, I think Hampson's the number one guy for me, which might be kind of weird for some people, because Rodgers is kind of, you know, been the man in the system for a seemingly long time. But the thing with Rodgers, we'll dive into Rodgers first. Overly aggressive approach, sub 7% walk rate. And Colorado is the hardest system to evaluate prospects without actually putting, luckily at Prospects Live, we have a lot of guys that have been able to put a lot of eyes on a lot of these Rockies guys because the ballparks do not help you out. They are heavily slanted offensive yards. So you see a lot of numbers in this list and you see a lot of numbers in this organization that are going to like eye popping, but you kind of have to take it for what they're worth because, the follow the offensive yards. Like for example, you saw that list I shared with you of, top 25 fly ball distances in the minor leagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say like seven of them were Rockies players.
Yeah.
Because of all the ballparks that they play in are all slanted this way. So with Hampson, he should be the starting second baseman this year. Really good plate skills, bat to ball skills are elite. He's the type of player that if he doesn't win that job, he could still be on the major league roster in like a second base, shortstop, corner outfield, you know, center field too, kind of play super utility kind of guy. Really advanced approach, like I said. But you're here for the stolen bases. 36 steals last year in AAA, 311 average. I think in the major leagues, he's a 25-plus stolen base guy. He's really good IQ, really good intangibles. I think he's a top-of-the-lineup hitter. You look at Rodgers, number one, you have to ding him in OBP formats because he's flat-out not going to walk. But the thing with that, he still should post strong averages, hits the ball hard. 17 homers, 12 stolen bases, makes a lot of contact, but he swings a lot of swings at everything. Here's why I get a little concerned. Number one, when he was in high A, right? He played in Lancaster. The ballpark's nickname is the Hanger. That's number one because it's the Lancaster. It's an aviation themed ballpark and their team name. He hit 461, 488, 809 at home.
Is that good?
I'll repeat it. 461, 488, 809 at home. On the road, he hit 308, 312, 523. Still good. Still great. But you see he's more aggressive on the road. It's hard. But there's a big split. But he's more aggressive. You know, and with someone... I'm trying to word this the right way to make sense. To someone that's an overly aggressive hitter that has trouble walking, putting him in yards that make everything look like a beach ball is probably not the best way to get him to be more passive. Mm-hmm. So I look at this and I look at Rodgers, and I think he's got the glove to stick up the middle. But you're looking at all the offensive numbers here. Last year in the minor leagues, like again, he had 268, 330, 460. I think what he does in the major leagues is going to be pretty close to that, honestly. I just think he needs more seasoning. He's going to go through prolonged slumps just because of the approach. And he's kind of similar to Javi Baez in that stance. He's not going to walk a ton. But, I mean, you're looking at – or maybe he's a Rugi Odor. You know what I mean? Maybe he falls into that kind of bucket with the aggressiveness and the stolen bases and the power. Maybe that's exactly who he is. Hampson is a safer bet, but he's also not as flashy. So I guess pick your flavor on that. They're both going to be really good fantasy players. But if you want stability, go Hampson. If you're shooting for the moon, you take Rodgers. Tyler Nevin really showed out at the Arizona Fall League. He's number three on this list. First baseman. Uses all fields. Really good approach. Really good body. Projectable body. 18% K rate. 8.2% walk rate. 328, 386, 503 with 13 homers. Needs to lift the ball more. But he uses all fields. In the AFL, he's drawing rave reviews. He's a hit over power first baseman. He's playing a little bit of third now. I think he grows out of that. Colton Welker played on the same team as Nevin and didn't put up as good numbers. 333, 383, 489, 13 homers. Really good play skills, 20% K rate, 8% walk rate. Going to stick at third. He's more athletic of the pair, but he doesn't have the type of power that either one of these two guys has. Nevin doesn't have a ton of power, but Welker's is a little bit less. He also hits the ball on the ground. And here's Welker's home and road splits. 376, 419, 572 at home. 289, 345, 404 on the road. So the power production dropped dramatically when he wasn't in Lancaster, the launching pad. So you got to be a little bit concerned about that. Next guy up on this fantasy list for the Rockies, Grant Levine, was their second-round pick this year. Big prep bat, first baseman only. Monster power, 70, almost 80 grade. Well, 80 grade raw, probably 60 in game already. Needs to work on being more consistent. Came from New Hampshire, so there's little question marks on the level of competition, but he answered some of those questions with a really strong showing after entering pro ball. So he's on there. 350, 477, 519. Good plate skills. Almost a 1-to-1 K to walk. Ryan Vallade, this is number six. He's a shortstop right now. Probably a third baseman. Coach's kid at Oklahoma State. His father's on the staff up there. He was a high school draft pick. His dad's a college coach. I don't think he's going to contribute much in the stolen bases, so don't get too wrapped up in the 17 stolen bases. Only hit 5 home runs. The power's coming. So another offensive middle infielder here. A couple pitchers, Ryan Rollison and Peter Lambert. Rollison's intriguing to me. Has a really good 3-pitch mix. 12 to 6 curveball is the best pitch there. Has a slider as well. Really good fastball. I'm a little bit worried with the guy's best pitch in Coors Field being the breaking ball, but I think as we've shown, you can have fantasy value as a pitcher in Colorado. So I think 92, 94 with the fastball, touching 95. He manipulates the fastball a lot, gets ground balls too, which adds a level of safety and good for the ballpark. And Lambert is a guy who I think has a chance to be, you know, a number two, number three starter. The only issue here is he doesn't miss a lot of bats, 6.45 Ks per nine. But he doesn't walk anybody, gets some ground ball tilt, good sink. And so it's not like it's a bad fastball. He's kind of similar to Kyle Freeland in the aspect that he doesn't miss a lot of bats, but gets ground ball movement, a lot of weak contact, kind of thrives on that. Up next is Eddie Diaz. If you're looking for a deep league dart throw, should draft this guy. The reason why I say that, he's 18 years old. It was his first year. I don't even think he played stateside. Let me confirm this. Diaz is going to stick in the middle infield. If he doesn't play short, then he'll stay second base. He's got the leadoff hitter profile. He didn't come stateside, so these are DSL numbers. But 309, 417, 436, 54 stolen bases. That's okay. No homers, 13% walk rate, 7% K rate. Leadoff hitter profile, 54 stolen bases, like I said, but those were in 52 games. And he had a twice as many walks as he did strikeouts. So you got to love everything about all that. He's got to watch, though, because he's finally hitting stateside this year.
The 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide, The Fantasy Benefit, is the largest and most complete fantasy draft guide on the market. With featured writers from Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Baseball HQ, Baseball Prospectus, and Fangraphs, and many more, you will get tons of information on how to start your own league, draft strategies for roto, points, categories, NFBC, best ball, and DFS. There are tiers for every position, and 30 team previews, including 30 team prospect previews, breaking down the top prospects from each team. There are ranks for every position, for prospects, for first-year player drafts. This is the most in-depth guide that fantasy baseball has to offer. And not only that, we'll be updating it all draft season in the ebook and PDF. You can get this on Amazon.com in ebook form for $7.50 or in paperback for $13.99. Don't want an ebook? Don't want a paperback? Just want a PDF? You can order it by emailing friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com and I will send you an updated copy every week until the start of opening day. Get your 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit today.
Taron Vavra is a college shortstop at the University of Minnesota who's got really sexy batted ball data. There's a little bit of everything. Should be a positive asset to a fantasy team. In this first-year player draft, you can get him really late. Juan Guerrero, another guy in that first-year player draft for this year, uses all fields. Colorado guy, so he should have post-strong averages. Riley Pint. Still throws hard. Still walks too many guys. I'm not completely giving up on him just because of the arm. But it's not looking good. Ryan Castellani is another backhand starter. Jonathan Daza, Sam Hilliard, Nico Decolati are probably all platoon outfielders. But this is a system, an organization that doesn't use its minor league prospects as much as people hope. I mean, they have a tendency to block and then block and then block some more on some of their big-name prospects. I mean, just look at this offseason, for example. But, you know, who's to say they're not, they don't know anything that we don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's prospecting is a tough game, and the Rockies get a lot of crap, but not a lot of teams develop players like the Rockies do. They've had consistently overwhelmingly homegrown slanted lineups the last decade, and they produce. Like Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado, those weren't highly regarded guys when they entered the organization. Arenado was a guy that they weren't sure if could stick at third, was projected to hit 20 home runs and hit like 260, and I think he's blown past all of those. And Trevor Story was supposed to move off shortstop and probably play in the outfield or second base, and he wasn't going to hit for average because he strikes out too much, and, well, he's blown past that. Charlie Blackman came out of nowhere. They do really well with players, and so there's a lot of sleepers here.
Even though they hate them.
They hate them, but the ones that they do use do well.
Yes.
When's the last Rockies prospect that got extended time that didn't turn out? It's hard to think of one.
I'm sure there is one. The problem is, you know, they just don't give guys like Ramil Tapia extended time.
Right, I love Tapia. I still do.
I like him a lot, but just they keep doing things to block them. So, and it's hard
right.
It's hard to see the path to playing time for a lot of the guys that you mentioned.
Yep.
I mean, and obviously guys like Arenado will probably be gone after this year, and there'll be other guys gone, and that'll help open up places for guys. But
Arenado walking away would be devastating to that team.
I can't imagine that it doesn't happen, right?
And I know the Cardinals are eyeing him, but they won't spend the money. And the Yankees will be involved. Mm-hmm. And if the Yankees are involved, they normally get their guy. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the things you got to think is maybe the Yankees didn't spend on Machado because they're thinking they're getting Arenado next year.
Arenado's a better fit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You got to wait a year for it, but he's a better fit.
And, you know, he fits what they're trying to do in terms of kind of a team personality.
Yep.
So
agreed.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Go get the Draft Guide. Draft Guide doing well. Number one on Amazon.
Numero uno.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, definitely go get that. Getting a lot of good reviews from people. You can get it on Amazon in either ebook or paperback, or you can email me, JustinMasonFantasy@gmail.com. And I can hook you up with a PDF, $7.50 for the ebook and PDF, or $13.99 for the paperbacks. And we'll be updating both the ebook and the PDF all season long, so or all draft season long. So, what do you got going on at Prospects Live, Matt?
Top 100 season that's coming out. Dynasty ranks seem to be something we're discussing amongst ourselves. A lot of live looks. We got a guy down at Giants Instructs and Cubs Instructs right now. We have college baseball starting up in about a week and a half down in Florida. So we'll have eyes on that. Carter Stewart's first start at JUCO. We're going to be all over that. Yeah, anything prospecting, we're going to be on it, man. We're doing extremely well over there, and I'm really proud of what everyone's done.
Nice. You can read all my stuff at Fangraphs and Fantasy Alarm, as well as Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Hear me on, of course, the Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcast, but also the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational Pod, and the Sleeper in the Bus, the award-nominated Sleeper in the Bus.
Congratulations.
I'm having a good off-season so far. Number
me
one,
too.
Number one on Amazon. Getting Fantasy Sports Writers Association nominations. I mean, things are going well in Justin Mason and Friends of Fantasy Benefits world.
I want to second that. I mean, with Prospects Live has been better than I expected it to be at this point. I was confident in our squad that we assembled over there, but I didn't expect to be, you know, as highly regarded as we already are. But the quality of work speaks for itself.
Yep.
And I'm proud to be part of the FWFB Draft Guide as well. It's been a really strong effort for a lot of people, and I'm glad it's doing well.
I am too. Yeah, that's going to do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.